Would you turn with me to John chapter 21, looking at Peter's reinstatement? Verses 15 and following, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care or shepherd my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who leaned back against Jesus at the Last Supper and said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" And then Peter saw him and said, "Well, Lord, what about him?" As if it was his business. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." And because of this, of course, the rumor spread in the church among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. And we know his testimony is true, John. Well, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would not have room for the books that could be written. Interesting. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. We're reminded that our fellow brothers and sisters around the world, church is illegal. The Bible is a banned book. And so, Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy, and we can be here freely in your house to worship you today. Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So, again, during this season, this 40 days after Easter Sunday, we've been looking at a few of the different post-resurrection narratives in the Gospels. We've looked at the Emmaus Road, Doubting Thomas, last week Mary Magdalene, and I want to continue on because I find these studies interesting. Also being reminded that Easter is the beginning of it all, not the end of a season, but the beginning of all new life in Jesus. And there's some really interesting character studies, and we see that as well in the reinstatement of Peter, John 21. Again, remember earlier in the gospel, John 13, Peter told Jesus that he would die for him, and Jesus said, "Really? You're going to lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Jesus is the one laying down his life. And so the risen Jesus would directly ask Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. After all, it's pretty hard to love someone if you deny you have a relationship with them, right? Three times. Now, this is Jesus' chief apostle, right? Denied him three times before the crowd. In Jesus' greatest hour of need, he would declare to the resurrected Christ before the crowd that he loved Jesus three times. And one of the things we learn and we discover in the Bible that in those times, it was common for someone to declare something three times in the presence of others to solemnize, to make solemn a particular matter, particularly if it was legal or binding in nature. So think about this. For Peter, this was an incredibly painful moment, but it's also one of his greatest moments in life when Jesus would reinstate and commission him for the spreading of the gospel. Now notice this, after each time, Bibles open, that Jesus asked Simon Peter if he loved him, Jesus followed up with a specific question and a specific command, right? Verse 15, "Peter, do you love me more than all of the rest of these disciples?" Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Number one, he said, feed my lambs, right? Verse 16, do you truly love me more than all these disciples? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that. Then shepherd my sheep. NIV says, take care of my sheep. Actually, the word in Greek is to shepherd the sheep. Verse 17, do you love me? And with great hurt and pain, knowing that he had betrayed Jesus three times, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he said, well, okay. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then John ends his post-resurrection narratives with the simplest and most important of all questions. And this is really the big question to consider today. Do you love me? In essence, Jesus is reminding Peter of his great commandment. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's the question for us today as well. Do you really love Jesus? Now, most people are not nearly as kind and sincere as when Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Kind of like the time. When a woman cruelly asked her husband, do you love me? And the man said, of course, my dear, I love you. Well, then, she said, I think we should spice up our love life a little bit with some role playing. Okay, said, what do you have in mind? She said, let's play doctor and patient. She said, and her husband went along with it and said to his wife, and how are you today, doctor? To which she replied in a very unloving way, responded, I have a headache. There are no available appointments until Christmas. Goodbye. Is that the current state of your medical situation? You can't get a doctor's appointment? I've heard a lot of that from people lately. Jesus is so much kinder. But if you look at Jesus' three commands to Peter, you'll find the second part of Jesus' great commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? Notice Jesus' first command to Peter is to feed my lambs. Jesus calls his followers both then and now to feed his lambs. And here at Mosaic Church, we take this literally and seriously. Well, who are our lambs? Well, there are little ones and our young people, right? We're going to honor Brenda. She's been faithful in this. She's been she's been a children's ministry worker, youth pastor for years. God is moving her into marriage soon, and today will be her last day at Children's Church. We're calling you. Would you pray about ministering to our lambs? How about that? A rotational thing. Don't worry. It's not like most churches. Oh, we got you now. You're stuck in this forever. No, we're talking like a 5-6 week rotation. Would you invest in our lambs? I mean, Josh and Holly are rehabbing the other side over there for youth. We are putting our money where our mouth is. Amen. And we want to minister to these young people. It's in our hearts. They're the next generation, right? After we're gone. So what are we passing on? Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed them. Well, we want to honor our children's school, Sunday school teachers and that kind of thing. If you've ever noticed here in the valley, there are people who raise sheep and lambs. Have you ever noticed how lambs, they're so cute, hungry, needy? They need to be fed regularly, protected, or they will die and there will be no future flock. Right? In some ways, we're only one generation away from ending the church. Not to sound desperate, right? But that's how important this is. If we don't feed our lambs, or if we are not winning people for Jesus Christ, what are we really doing? Right? I noticed millennials and Zs don't join clubs anymore, right? Whether that be civic or fraternal or even churches, right? They don't join. What's going to happen to the next generation is a big, big question, right? Did you know that most people come to faith in Jesus Christ in America by age 14? Most people. Now, some of you are notorious sinners, and it was more recent, and I praise God for that. You know, and we want to feed the sheep and all that good stuff. But most come as lambs. That's how serious this is. Jesus says to Peter, look, Peter, feed the lambs. Jesus is, even before that, one of my favorite quotes is from Pope John Paul II. He was known as the globe-trotting pope. He loved to visit his people and his sheep. He said this, I think this is so biblical. He said, God has no grandchildren, only children by faith through Jesus Christ. Amen. Feed the lambs. Let's feed the lambs. Second command to Peter, as well as his followers today, take care of, or literally in the Greek, shepherd my sheep. Now, sheep are need the care of loving Christians, right? Who can shepherd them in their faith journeys. You know, sheep have no real natural mechanisms for protection other than running away or staying close to the shepherd, right? Here's the deal. Sheep that run or separate themselves from the flock and the shepherd's care and protection are inevitably eaten by wolves. That's how it works. Just a reminder, church is not optional, people. We're called in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembly, right? I mentioned this in adult ed today. It was shocking to me moving here 11 years ago at how casually people take church. I mean, I lived in the Bronx in Chicago. They knew they needed church.
Well, yeah, they need church, you know, because they kill each other.
Well, sometimes. But out here, it's like, church, whatever. It's like, no, not whatever, right? There are wolves out there. Church is not supposed to be optional for the Christian. Sheep have to be cared for, tended. They're easily harassed, beaten up, because this fallen world is hard on them. That's why I often refer to Mosaic as a spiritual family, one who cares for one another on a daily basis, a family that's dedicated to these ideas of radically loving, giving, and forgiving one another. And that happens every day of the week, not just on Sunday service, right? Jesus reminds us through Peter, that who was not always careful, Peter, take care of, shepherd my sheep. And then Jesus's final command to Peter was to feed my sheep. Now, thankfully, this has not been an issue at Mosaic, but it's always been an issue elsewhere, and other pastors hear this all the other time. This is like nitroglycerin for pastors. You know what the word pastor means in Latin? Just means shepherd. That's all it means, shepherd, right? And so when one or more of the sheep declare, I know Barry and Dwight have heard this. You ever had sheep who said, I don't feel fed. I just don't, Pastor, you're not feeding me. I'm just like, ugh, really? Okay, that cuts a pastor to the heart. Here's the thing. You know, sheep have to eat for themselves, right? Dwight's like, right. Every single pastor out there hears this from some of the sheep. I just don't feel fed. You know, there's not enough meat in your teaching. Have you heard that one, Dwight? Yes, Barry, yeah. Not enough meat, which usually means they're actually bored and want to try out a new church, right? Yes, thank you. So please go then. If you're not getting enough meat here, go elsewhere. There's the door. But as a former boss of mine once said, there are only two kinds of people who can't pick up a spoon and feed themselves, but who wish they could. They are infants and the extreme, the very elderly, right? The job of feeding is incumbent upon the sheep. Pick up a fork. You know, there are spiritual opportunities before you all over the place. You know, here at Mosaic Church, we are passionate about discipleship, prayer, and care ministries. Adult ed, man, that's taken on a life of its own. Those of you who come, right, in the last year, I don't even know where this thing is going from week to week. It's hilarious. It's really awesome. It's a time of scripture study and application of God's word in our lives. We have prayer groups, Bible study, literally feeding the hungry. I got to, with your help, I got to bless a single homeless mother this week in Jesus' name. This woman was hurting. It was clear there were no games here, and we got to help her. And when I gave her some funds to help her where she needed specifically, she did this. She was like, oh, and she actually said, praise God. She wasn't playing. It was so good. It was so good to feed sheep, literally, right? Every day in one way or another. If you believe that you're going to get everything you spiritually need for your life out of one Sunday service a week, you're going to remain spiritually hungry and malnourished, right? You would never, most of you would never think about, well, you know, I just eat one meal a week. A sizable portion, but I eat one big meal a week and then I don't eat for the rest of the week. You would never think about doing that. But that's what many people do in the Christian life. I'll go to church, kind of get my USDA requirements for spirituality and then face the week on, you know, without any help. Are you insane? In this current world? No, please don't do that. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be with other Christians. Pick up on our daily bread. If the idea of a daily time with Jesus is new to you, and if it is, okay, pick up on our daily bread. 5 minutes. The Word, a story, an application, and a prayer, that's where you start, people. That's just an example. And you can always build from there, but you got to start somewhere. People are like, oh, I don't have any time with Jesus, so I'm going to start with 2 hours of Bible study every day. It's like, no, you're not. No one does that. Start simple, right? We have plenty of opportunities here. The Christian life is so much more than just Sunday morning. Now, we love Sunday morning, don't get me wrong. But I sort of laugh when people think, you know, again, pastors, it's like, oh, so, you know, Sunday is your heavy lifting day, right? And the rest of the time you go home and you read your Bible for the rest of the week. I'm like, I wish. I wish. No, Sunday morning's about this much of my week. And then it gets filled with messy sheep the rest of the week, yeah? Right? And sometimes I'm the mess, right? Ask my wife. No, don't ask my wife. Feed the sheep, Peter, right? Kind of unlike the time. When a man from Texas was on his deathbed, now, if you know anything about Texas, you know that a properly smoked beef brisket is almost a second religion down there, right? I don't mean to be blasphemous, but it is down there. As this Texan was dying, he said to his son, oh, I smell the glorious aroma of your mother's beef brisket. Go and get me a plate of that, and then I can die in peace. After 10 minutes, the son returned empty-handed. His crestfallen father cried, where's the brisket? Remember back in the East? Where's the beef? Remember her? To which the son said, oh, mom said that was to feed the guests after the funeral. It's tough in Texas. Man to feed the sheep seriously and literally. Now, John ends his gospel with some very interesting comments. Notice in verse 18, did you notice Jesus predicts Peter's death when he is old? But then he said, what does he say after that? He says, you follow me. You know, well, what about that guy? What about the price of tea in China since I'm going there? Who cares, right? You follow me, Jesus said. Now, this is where church history and tradition is really interesting and helpful. We're told by the early church that obviously Peter had a very successful and fruitful ministry, preaching the gospel in the heart of the empire, Rome itself. And did you know that when the cruel and godless Roman Emperor Nero was rounding up Christians as scapegoats, why? To quell the rumors that he set Rome on fire. He had a big building campaign he wanted to do, right? But there was a problem. There was like buildings and people living there. So he set fires and burned everything down, and then people were upset, obviously. And he said, oh, it was the Christians that did it. And so Peter and Paul were arrested, as well as other Christians. Church history tells us this, that Peter was led outside of the city to be crucified. And when he arrived at the spot, he told the Roman soldiers this. He said, I am not worthy to die in the manner of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what? There was actually, Roman soldiers were actually trained in crucifixion. There were groups of them. I mean, it's crazy, right? Yeah, you want to join the crucifixion crowd, you get better pay, and this was a thing. And they, you know what they said to Peter? Oh, no problem. And they crucified him upside down. And there's Caravaggio's famous painting, right, of the crucifixion of St. Peter. So lifelike. Look at the figures. Look at his face. And this actually happened. Today, there's a church that marks the spot where Peter died, just as Jesus predicted in verse 18. That's sort of the after story. You know, but have you ever noticed Peter is nosy? I mean, not like you or me, right? Peter, we said in adult ed today, counselors would say Peter had an anger management problem, right? He's a hothead. Calm down. Like, he asks, yeah, and what about John here? What about John, the beloved disciple? Jesus said, that's none of your business or concern, Peter. We're also worried about everybody else except doing what God called us to do, right? He said, follow me. And in predictable fashion, a rumor started. I looked at it, I was like, is that a weird word? No, in Greek it said, the word went out, which we call a rumor today, right? Because Christians don't gossip, we only share. I have a prayer concern I want to share with you about fill in the blank. Don't, right? A rumor spread that John would not die, which is refuted in verse 23. In fact, church history tells us that all of Jesus' disciples were martyred. Martyr means, actually literally in Greek, means witness. So, you know, you could be tortured for the faith and not die and still be a martyr, right? That's what we're called to do as Christians. We give witness, right, to the truths of Jesus Christ, right? So all the disciples died young in some harsh way, except for John. Did you know that? John was the last disciple standing. He was the one who lived to a ripe old age, died of natural causes. And, you know, before we breathe a sigh of relief that he escaped being murdered, martyred, we should remember how difficult and painful it is for our seniors to watch their friends and loved ones pass before they do, right? That's its own sort of sorrow, right? Remember to show love and comfort to our seniors. You know, some of you seniors still get the paper, printed newspaper, right? I won't out you. Is anybody reading newspaper anymore? Mike, yes, okay. And Wayne, but I'm not going to out Wayne. Anyway, send all your hate mail to the okay. You know, and what do the seniors typically do? They aren't looking necessarily at the front page, are they? Looking at the obituaries to see if someone they knew or loved has passed on. Shoot, I started doing that myself, I noticed, in the last year or so. I still get the National Magazine for the Christian Missionary Alliance. They didn't ban me from that, just other things. And you know what I do now is whenever I get it, I don't look at the front. Guess where I go? Because all my mentors are dying. You know, all the people that form me and help me are dying. And but that's okay. They're with the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. Keep that in mind. But just putting this into perspective, this is John's experience, right? He knew this pain. Now, occasionally, this is always sort of interesting, our seniors find love again late in life. Kind of like the time, Billy. Yeah, when a savvy senior was told that if he only downloaded a particular app on his phone, he could find love once again, even in his old age. Oh my. Elated, the elderly gentleman said, please tell me the name of the phone app so that I can find love once again, only to be cruelly told the app is called Carbon Dating. Mean. This is the burden of the Apostle John, who so hopefully ends his gospel reminding us this, that if all the things that Jesus ever said or done were recorded, the world couldn't hold all the books. But he says earlier, right? Verse 31, these things have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. And so in closing, the question that Jesus asked Peter three times is the same question he's asking you and me this morning. And it's simple. Do you love me? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus more than all the good things in your life? Do you love him even more than those people that you love so dearly? Remember, Jesus said, unless you hate your mother and father, you cannot be my disciple. Semitic hyperbole. Of course you don't. Well, some of you do, and we can talk about that. I hate your parents. But most of you don't, thankfully. But unless your love for Jesus so surpasses every other love, that's going to be a problem. Again, do you love me? If you love Jesus, he's commanding you and I to feed the lambs, to care for and shepherd the sheep, and feed those sheep in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we just thank you for the freedom we have to worship you here today, this morning. Lord, we thank you for Peter's reinstatement. Lord, he denied you three times, and all of us have denied you in one way or another in our own lives, whatever that may look like. But we thank you for your forgiveness, Jesus. And you ask us this question, as you asked Peter, do you love me? And we say this morning, Lord Jesus, yes, Jesus, we love you. Though it's imperfect, we love you. And we ask and say as Peter did, Lord, we believe, help us in our unbelief. And we thank you for your forgiveness, your love, and the commission you put on our hearts to tell others about the love of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we go forth from this place and into our mission field, we pray that you would imprint this question on our hearts. Do you love Jesus? And then commission us to share that love of Jesus with others. And we pray this in his name, saying, amen.